John Constantine, a Hellblazer podcast.
Everybody, and welcome back. Before we get into the episode, just want to let you know that this is the free version of the podcast, and all that means is that we are way behind where I'm at in Patreon. So if you are loving this podcast and you need more John Constantine in your life, definitely go check us out at patreon.com/planes, trains, and comic books and sign up for the Hellblazer tier, where you'll get access to the entire Hellblazer library that I've recorded so far. And also, you'll get access to the exclusive episodes of the Planes, Trains, and Comic Books main podcast. So if any of that sounds good to you, definitely go over to patreon.com/planes, trains, and comic books, all one word, and sign up there. And with that out of the way, let's get into the issue. Today, we are reading Hellblazer number 66. And just a little catch up on what's been going on. John and his friend Dez have been captured by a man named Charlie Patterson, who works for or is associated with a racist political party. They have John beaten up and tied to a chair, and his friend Dez, who is black, definitely got the worst of the beating when they were captured, and they sliced his face up with a razor and then tied him up in a chair next to John down in this basement they left him in. And Charlie Patterson actually sent two goons to John's girlfriend Kit's house, and she had to fight them off. She is very feisty, so she did. She ended up stabbing one in the crotch and was able to get away. The reason why Charlie Patterson is doing this to John and John's friends is because the angel Gabriel, who hangs out at this club that Patterson also hangs out at, has been having weird feelings ever since John told him that Charlie Patterson and other people that he talks to are horrible people and racist, and why would God want an angel to talk to them? And this kind of gave Gabriel a crisis of faith, so he left the club. And that is what tips Charlie Patterson off, because he had someone watching, and that person heard the angel say the name John Constantine. And that's what started all of this. So in the background, the angel's been walking around outside, very melancholy, having a crisis of faith. And we left off the last issue with him meeting a nice girl named Julie and talking to her a bunch and them kind of flirting together. And also Dez's brother George is looking for Dez, and that is where we left it on the last issue. So first things first, we got the cover here for issue 66. We see John is tied to a wooden chair. He has lots of bruising and swelling on his face, like he's been beat up, some blood on his shirt. And we get a little collage of some things that have come into play. There's a copy of Mein Kampf floating next to him, and some feathers are falling down. And also there's a utility knife razor blade and a sword of some sort that looks like it's broken in half. And we see this issue was written by Garth Ennis with art by Steve Dillon. And we start off in that basement with John and Dez tied up. And when we last saw them, Dez was barely able to make a sound. And in the first panel, we see that he's not moving. And the narration says, "Dez died an hour ago. He couldn't breathe with his throat crushed. And all I heard was the soft little hiss of a rattle sliding out from the butcher's shop that used to be his mouth. Sorry, old son. I'll see you soon. And Kit, something happened to her, and I can't do anything. I've let her down. I always knew I would." And just as he thinks that, we see Charlie Patterson come in with his goons once again. And even though John's face in these first couple panels was very sad and like he was full of grief, the second he sees Patterson, he puts a face on of arrogance and anger, and he sarcastically says, "You from room service?" And also on this page, we see that this is part three of the storyline Fear and Loathing, and the name of this issue is Down to Earth. Then we cut to an apartment building where we see Julie is walking into an apartment with the angel Gabriel. And she's saying, "Well, it's not much, but it's home. Come on in. I don't bite, you know." And Gabriel says shyly, I am fine." Then Julie turns to him and she has an embarrassed look on her face. And she asks him, "Gabriel, do you mind if I ask you, is this your first time?" Gabriel looks shocked and he says, "Oh no, I mean, not like this or... Then he puts his head down in shame as he answers her truthfully, saying, "Yes." But she just gives a smile and says, "It's okay." Then we cut back to John in the basement, and Charles is talking to him, saying, "Why was the black carrying all the literature? Several copies of the newspaper? Our posters? Know your enemy? Is that it? Or are you up to something? And when John doesn't reply, Charles says, doesn't matter. And then he rubs his face like he's thinking and he says, you think I'm a stupid man, don't you? I mean, obviously I'm not. I hit you as soon as you went near the angel, but all the same, you probably think, Patterson, that little shit, I could have him for breakfast. He's just some tosser got chucked out of the public school. No better than the arseholes he's in charge of. It's nice to have someone to look down on, isn't it? Then Patterson pulls out a big cigar and he begins to light it and he says, because we're all scared, Constantine. We're scared of losing the little worlds we've hacked out for ourselves. And if we see someone trying to take them from us, that's great. We don't have to be scared anymore. We can hate. That's where I come in, you see. And just a little warning, whenever I say the word black or Arab or some kind of nationality, those are not the words that Charles is saying. He is using the very, very bad derogatory terms that I will not say. So that's just a heads up in case you read these issues. They do not pull punches with the wording. And Patterson continues. That's where I come in, you see. Look at those bloody blacks, I say. Look at them coming over here like they own the place, taking our jobs, screwing our women. Freaking Arabs taking our businesses away. Work's a treat. Of course, the liberals make their films and so on, searing indictments of the stupidity of racism, with clever plots and metaphors that drip with insight. And people say, yes, it is wrong to hate a man for the color of his skin. And then they go down to the pub, and 2 minutes later, they're telling Arab jokes again. That's your problem, really. Average lefty just doesn't realize they're asking people to act against their instincts. Not me. Be scared. Go ahead and hate. If you hate enough, you'll forget you live in a shithole with no job, no health service, and no security. And you're a friggin' moron with no hope of anything. And then with a smile, Patterson waves his goons forward like he wants them to attack John again. And he says, and we've got to keep the morons occupied, haven't we? And finally, John talks as the men approach him and he says, you know something, Charlie? When you gloat, you do it in style. Then we cut to George, who is still looking for Dez, and he seems to have found a lead because he has brought in a man to a storage unit area, and he has pinned that man to one of the garage doors, and he has a shotgun under that man's chin. And George is saying, you talk too loud in the friggin' pub, arsehole. You and those Nazis down the King's Head. Where you got him? And the man is confused, saying, what? Come on, mate. Please. Then George quotes back what he heard the man say in the pub, saying, so we got him, right? Constantine and his bloody monkey. Frick the both of them. And then he leans in like he's serious and he says, I've been up looking all night and I want me brother. Where? And the terrified man says, Putney, old field off the tracks, in the shed, at the bottom, I swear. And George turns the man around and he says, right. And the man who is now facing the garage door is now worried because he thinks he's going to get killed. And he says, don't kill me. And then we see George bring the shotgun down to rest behind the man's right knee. And George says, relax. So obviously he's about to blow that guy's leg off. Then we cut back to Julie's apartment and we see Julie and Gabriel having sex. She is on top of him and he is laying down on the bed. And as she's going to town, he is narrating saying, you never told me, father. Didn't know. Could never have dreamed. She feels like heaven. And as Julie leans down to kiss his neck, he closes his eyes and he thinks, father, oh my father, what she does with her fingers. Then we hear Julie say, Gabriel. And as we turn to the next page, we get a full page splash image of not Julie on top of him, but instead the succubus demon Chantinelli. And she has ripped out Gabriel's heart. And she has a very evil look on her face. And as Gabriel realizes what's happening, Ellie says, do you like that? You better go now, Gabriel. And then she gets really close to Gabriel's face and he looks horrified as she says, your daddy wants a word. And then in an instant, he's gone. His body vanishes and Ellie is left on the bed naked with his heart. And she says, got you, you bastard. Then we cut back to John, who is about to get beat by some baseball bats from Charlie Patterson's goons. But just before they begin to hit him, he says, all right, Charlie, why don't you stick your speeches back up your arse and tell me what you want with the snob? And Patterson turns around and says, huh? Hold on a minute, boys.
I'm surprised you have to ask. You know this country's gonna turn nasty in a few years, Constantine. You can see the way it's heading. I may not be an expert on magic, but I know it helps to have some mystical clout in affairs of state. And John cuts in saying, and you can't clout much harder than a fallen archangel, can you? Charlie, you haven't a hope of corrupting him. How are you gonna do it? Get him to say the Lord's Prayer backwards? You're too late anyway. I've done it. He fell tonight. And upon hearing this, Charlie is very shocked and his eyes get super wide, and John continues. So you untie me and fetch me a silk cut, and I'll give him to you on a plate. And Patterson, who's still shocked to have the tables turned on him like this, decides to change the subject, and he kind of points towards Dez's body, and he says, you lot dump him, okay? I'll be in touch. And I think it's because he's trying to make sure that the men are out of the room as he makes a deal with John. So as the men take Dez's body out and go upstairs, Patterson walks over to John and says, if this is a windup, but John cuts him off saying, grow up. Then we cut to the outside of the shed where we see the goons putting Dez's body in the trunk of their car. And we see that there's another building just across from the field. And from inside that building, we see George is watching the men load his brother's body into their car. And from the look on his face, you can tell that he knows his brother is dead. Then we cut to heaven, and it seems Gabriel is being punished. We don't really see what's happening to him, but we see the after effects. So in these panels, we see his chainmail armor being torn to shreds and broken, along with his white tunic, and his sword is broken. And there are feathers that are floating down all over the place, as if his wings exploded and the feathers went everywhere. And in the first panel, we get a few dots of blood, but as the panels continue, the blood gets more and more and more. And Gabriel's narration says, what happens when your world ends? Your lover steals your heart, and your father casts you out, and you fall. Then we get a double page spread of the falling of Gabriel as he plummets to the earth from a bright light that is heaven. We see that he is naked except for a loincloth that is made from the tatters of his tunic. He has two stumps on his back that used to be where his wings were. And as he falls, he is crying out in agony. Then we cut back to John and Charles Patterson, and John is putting on his trench coat after Patterson has untied him from the chair. And Patterson asks John, but why did you screw him up? What did you want with him? And John replies, none of your business. I'll get what I want from him, then he's yours. That's all you need to know. And then John lights a cigarette, and as he does, the narration says, and you'll be lucky if you get tuppence, you fat little bastard. You're going down, Charlie. You and as many of those boot boys of yours as I can manage. And if Kit's hurt, Charlie, I'll leave you alive when I'm finished. So Charlie walks over to the door as John is thinking this. And as he opens it up, all of a sudden, he is blown backward as a shotgun goes off and blows out his torso and back. And he falls to the ground and George enters the room. And John says, George, for Christ's sake. And as George walks towards Patterson's body, he turns to John and says, I saw them putting Dez in the car, right? They freaking killed him. And John says to George, I know, son. I saw him too. But I had this bastard eating out of my hand there. I was going to take him and his whole pack of bastards to pieces. And as George gets to Patterson on the ground, who's still alive, he's kind of squirming and moaning a bit. George raises the shotgun to Patterson's head, and as he pulls the trigger, he says, screw you, Constantine. And then Charlie Patterson's head explodes. And then we get a couple panels of John and George staring at each other. And it looks like John is angry because his plans got messed up, but George just meets eyes with him and stares back coldly. And then he snaps and says, don't you ever freaking judge me. And then he just turns and walks out. And John is left staring at what's left of Charles Patterson's body. And as he lights his cigarette, he says, ah, shit. Then we cut to John in Kit's apartment, and he is getting yelled at by her as she says, no, I didn't call the police. Do you think I'm bloody stupid or something? And John's got his hands out in front of him like he's telling her to calm down. And he says, Jesus, all right, love. Where did you stay? And Kit replies, Chaz's sofa. Once I realized you weren't bothering your arse to show up. And John tries to defend himself, saying, it was tied to a chair with the rest of me. But Kit's not having any of that Constantine sarcasm, and she says, ah, don't be clever. And then she gets kind of sad and serious and says, you promised to leave me out of it, John. That's the arrangement, remember? And then John looks down kind of guilty and says, yeah, shit. Look, love, I've got to nip out for a bit, right? Then Kit gets kind of mad and she points to the bloodstain in the kitchen behind her and she says, "Aye, but before you nip anywhere, you can get in the kitchen and clean up all that freaking shite." So presumably John does that because we cut to a little while later where John is at a cemetery. And as John walks, his narration says, "Must be getting soft. Anyone else gave me a bollocking like Kit did this morning, I'd have just pissed off on him. Have to smooth her over later. Bit of crowing to do now." Then we see John walk over to a burial vault that has an open door. And before he walks down the stairs, he says, "Ellie?" And she answers, "That's me." And as he walks in, we see that Ellie is in here with the fallen angel Gabriel. And John asks Ellie, "Any trouble?" And Ellie replies, "Easy peasy. Smelt him a mile off." And John has a bunch of stuff with him. We don't really see what it is. But as he sets down this big duffel bag, with a big smile on his face, he asks her, "Did he do the cherry blossom?" And Ellie replies, "Yeah, you were right, the big soppy git." And then John says to her, "You owe me a fiver." Then we get a panel underneath that where we see that Gabriel, obviously, he's in the room with them and he can hear everything they're saying. And they're literally talking about him and how stupid he is. And he looks so distraught and guilty and shamed. And as John lights a cigarette, Gabriel says, "Why?" And John replies, "I'm in trouble with your opposition, remember? You wouldn't help me before. Had to fix it me own way. Pissed him off. You're me new minder." And then Chantinelli chimes in saying, "As for me, I just wanted to see you screwed." And Gabriel tries to be defiant as he says, "I am nothing of yours, Constantine. That shred of pride, it's all I have left now." And then John picks up what looks like a grocery bag and he begins to rummage through it and he says, "Christ, I hate being the bearer of bad news. Been doing me homework, Gabe. According to a little book I bought recently, this is the only thing keeping your arse out of the fire." And then he pulls his hand from that bag, and we see John is holding Gabriel's heart in his hand. And he threatens Gabriel, saying, "You want me to squash it, huh? Come on, Gabriel. If you're gonna fall, you might as well fall all the way." And then Gabriel gets sad and looks down, and he says, "You'll never understand what you've taken from me." But Chantinelli rushes over angrily and says, "Now you know how it feels. You killed my lover, you arrogant bastard. He was an angel, but you didn't bloody care what you were taking from him, did you?" And Gabriel replies, "No, but Constantine, I can see you're not just looking for protection. Why is it, when people like you see something pure and beautiful and good, that you have to kick it down and drag it through the mud?" And he turns to John kind of accusingly with that last sentence, and John replies, "If you have to ask, you'll never know. Anyway, enjoyable as all this is, if you're going to be working for me, you'll have to smarten up a bit. Those wings stick out a bloody mile, mate." And by wings, he means like the nubs that were left over after his wings were torn off in heaven. And so while John is saying this, he's reaching into that big duffel bag. And as he rummages around, he says, "Not to worry, though. You just leave it to your Uncle John." And then he proceeds to pull a chainsaw out of the bag. And as we turn the page, we cut away from that scene to an alley somewhere where we see someone who looks homeless is walking and they have a green blanket over them. But we can tell that on their back, there are two long streaks of blood that have soaked through the blanket. And it's where Gabriel's wing stumps used to be. So it seems that after John cut Gabriel's wing stumps off, they just left him with nothing except a crappy pair of clothes. And as Gabriel walks down this alley, he sees some more homeless people that are covering themselves with a box, trying to go to sleep. And a couple feet from them, he sits down next to the wall and he curls himself into a fetal position. And over these panels, the narration is saying, "At the end of it, he asked Constantine how he'd be sure his heart was safe. And Constantine turned to him and smiled a smile he'd been seeing in his nightmares." And then we get a quote of John saying, "Trust me." And then the narration continues, "No more snob then. No more pride, just a frightened fallen angel lying in the dirt." And that, my friends, is the end of the issue. So if you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, you can email me at planes, trains, and comic books, all one word, at gmail.com. And we will see you on the next one.